Is the book of Joshua, the leader after Moses, trained by Moses. In Joshua chapter 1, just looking at two verses, and we'll use them for our breakout time in prayer here. In Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, it said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Men, there's three things here when we break into groups of three here in just a minute. There's just three things that we want to pray for as we want to pray for one another. So the first thing we realize is God's word, that if we're going to have a life that is blessed and prosperous, it's not going to be without God's word. We need the word of God, right? So we want to pray as we break out. The first thing we want to pray for one another is just that God would help us this year grow in studying and taking in the word of God, that we would really personally grow, those who hunger and thirst, that we would hunger and thirst in a greater way, and be able to really see that we're really seizing personally more time with the Lord in the Word. So if we're hardly doing anything, doing 5 minutes more a week, that's significant. You know, at the end of the year, whatever, we're not putting any number, but just that God's Word would become stronger for us. That's the first thing. The second thing where it says be strong and courageous, in the things I'll share later on, the two things that we deal with, and we always will deal with these men, always, to the grave, we'll deal with trials and temptations. We'll always deal with those. And there's ways that, the way we handle that, it's going to make a difference in our life. Trials and temptations, those are things that are just going to be a part of our life. So to be strong and courageous and not to fear or be dismayed means that God is helping us in this area of trials and temptations. So you may say, after we pray for our study and hunger for God's word being stronger, then we're going to have to be a little bit more open and saying, you know what, here's a particular area, or here's a trial right now in my life. I need prayer for this trial. Or you say, this is an ongoing temptation that I have. I mean, a struggle. I'm tempted, and sometimes I fall into the temptation. So we want prayer for that, okay? So those are two things, word, and then pray specifically a trial or temptation for each other. Just say, hey, I want prayer for this, right? Because if we're going to be strong and courageous, we might have victory in that. And then lastly, it's what God is putting on your heart. And you may not know specifically right here, but God is with you wherever you go. I believe that God is wanting all of us to take that next step of faith, that next step of faith, whatever it may be. But there's that next step. There's something you know he's prompting you to do with greater consistency, greater passion. It's there. And you just want to move in that direction. You definitely want to move in that direction this year, okay? Are we good on that? So there's just three things. So let's go ahead and stand right now. And you're going to have to be adventurous here, men, okay? So let's be men, and let's get, you know, we're three or more gathered. So let's have groups of three, groups of three. You'll introduce yourself. So we have about, we want to take about 20 minutes right now, okay? So 20-minute time frame, groups of three. Pray for God's word to be strong. That's something across the board. Then it gets personal. I need prayer about this trial or this temptation. And then after you pray about that, here's an area that I feel God prompted me in. And I really want to, you know, I want to step out in this area in faith. And I just need prayer for that. Are we good? All right, men. So groups of three. We have about 20 minutes. At 10 till, we'll stop. So move out, and you can move in different places. Take the initiative, groups of three, men. My grandson, we're watching football a couple weeks ago, and one of the outstanding quarterbacks, not for the Seattle Seahawks, but for another team, I think he's a very, very, very good quarterback. But I was telling my grandson, if you watch him, he's not the kind of person that has character. And he says, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, just watch. So as we watched the game, the quarterback made some play, and then he made sure everyone knew, you know, what he's doing out there on the field. And I says, do you think that our quarterback, with Seattle would do that. He goes, no, what would he do? He would go along and congratulate the other players, and that's what he would do. He says, that's character. That God wants to develop character, you know, in our lives, and we want to follow people that have that. And when we're looking tonight, and again, the desire for me to meet together with you is because I believe wholeheartedly in my heart, just so it's in my heart from the Lord. So it's a bit subjective, I realize, but I'm just going to be faithful to the Lord with what he's told me to communicate and how to lead. But I see the pressures of this world right now in the release of evil and the intensity of these darkness greater than I've known before. So I'm not making anything up. And, you know, you can look, I guess, empirically and see ISIS and see other things that are going on just in our nation, whether it's the leadership in the nation, things and decisions that are made. But I think personally, and I believe I understood today because I was at the college with the students where we were talking about the bathroom issue, and apparently now it doesn't matter if it's men or women, that you can go in either one. Is that correct? I mean, that's what you're very correct. And so I think of what's that like for this generation coming up? I mean, that's right. When we laugh, but that's sad, right? Because we know that that's perversion. We know that if someone was out in the area and exposed themselves, they would be taken into jail for the indecent exposure. And now we're promoting indecent exposure. I mean, it's ludicrous, right? What's going on? And it continues. I mean, you got school teachers and things. You know what's happening. So all I'm saying is I don't live with paranoia. I live in strength of God and confidence in God and work in God. And I believe that the church right now needs to become strong as believers. God works through the church. That's his call. He brought the church together on Pentecost. He works through the church. Okay? Amen? Doesn't work. He works through the church. That's how he works. So he's called pastors to lead his people, and he works his word through the church, through the body of Christ that way. So we need to be strong. We don't need to be panicking or paranoid. We just need to be strong in God and wise in God. Therefore, we're praying a greater sense of God's word this year. We prayed for that right now, that all of us would have a greater intake of the word of God. And then we're just praying regarding trials and temptations. And then also, God, that you would give us an unction for what you have next, that we'd be men that are stepping forward and out. So for myself, just some facts I think that can be a little bit helpful. And these come from Barna Research, and it has to do with pastors. And this is a work that they put together through the Francis Schaeffer Institute probably about 10 years ago or so. And these are the statistics. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, contention in the churches. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role as a pastor. 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter into the ministry will leave the ministry within the first 5 years. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Most statistics, they say that 60 to 80% of those who enter the ministry will not still be in the ministry 10 years later. Only a fraction will stay in it as a lifetime, you know, calling from the Lord. So what I want you to know, those statistics are out there. Those are real. And I'm not a stranger to that. Anybody that's in this position. So I face all the darkness and all the struggles and all the battles that make up these statistics. I've been faithful to my wife, by the way. I haven't been any of some of those numbers in there. But I'm just saying that reality, that exists. So that's what's coming towards a pastor. That's what a pastor faces, because a lot of people aren't aware of what a pastor faces. For me, by the grace of God, this has been 30 years as a ordained pastor. We planted this church 24 years ago by the grace of God. So, I mean, if you look at what God's been doing and he is doing in light of those statistics, we just thank the Lord, right? We thank God for that. We thank God because these should be the most fruitful times ever because of the heat and God conforming us. As some of you are aware, I post things on the internet on a daily basis. Well, over time, consistently every day. So there's been over 1,600 devotional photos I've taken with a scripture. There's, with Adam's help, over 1,460 daily Bible studies that I've written. I'm just going to say this straight up, man. I write this, and if I'm your pastor, I'd encourage you to read them. My pastor is Wayne. Anything he sends to me, I read. So what does it mean? It means taking 5 minutes, maybe a day, and being blessed by God's word, and also knowing the heart of your pastor. I write those every day. So that's, you know, that's not like something that just happened. That's 1,460 straight days. I'm not saying it to brag. I'm just saying, if God's call, I take to heart what God's called me to do. That's a lot of, takes a lot, right? I mean, and if you're, it, you know, I know a lot of times it's like, well, I don't have time. If you just would look and see, wow, what's on his heart? What is he praying about? What is a little nugget that is there for me? I want to encourage you. I'm trying to help us move ahead in faith. Someone once said, and I was studying this out, but he said one of the few things that Jesus showed of himself after his resurrection was the scars on his hands and in his side after his resurrection. You want to prove their scars. Well, men, most of our scars will be observed after we die. A lot of life, people don't know anything about. But after you die, after you move on, the reality of what it took to be the man of God that God's called you to be will be made known. Russell Wilson, we love his work ethic. He's a team player. He keeps coming up to the line. He doesn't complain. He has a testimony. But when I watch, I cringe when his blockers don't block. I cringe when they miss assignments. I cringe when they're not listening to the cadence and they just go off on their own. It's like, and I want to use that as an illustration as well, because you should cringe when you miss your block to protect your pastor. When you're not blocking for your pastor, I take the hit. I've taken a lot of hits, but I'm back on the line, and I'm not going to complain. God's going to use it. But as brothers, you have a significant role, a role that you have is not like a woman has. As a man and as a brother and together, we have a place. Protect your QB. Protect your pastor through prayer and just support and awareness, and uphold your pastor. Uphold him with your words. Uphold his family with your words. It comes down to either we're in a place to build up or a place to tear down. I only want to be with men that are interested in building. If you're not interested in building, I'm not interested in hanging out, just straight up. Now, our fellowship is open. Now, just be careful here, all right? So I want to see people receive God's grace and just be blessed. You've been here. We don't demand. I don't make any demands on anybody. I want you to love God. I want you to receive God's love. But as we move ahead, and as this is our home church and our home place, then I want us to be about, how do we build Christ in the lives of others? That's what we want to do. How do we do the work that God's called us to do? We're not dormant on that. And as we make changes and as we look at how to minister, I never will minister in a negative or go backwards. We go forward. We want to reach more people. We want to strengthen more people. We want more of God's love. So even as we arrange things, as we're doing this coming up few months, it's not a negative, it's a positive. It's how can more people in our fellowship be blessed, be encouraged, be helped in their walk with the Lord? That's what, as a pastor, that's my heart. How do we affect more people? So that's what's, you know, on my heart. I loved what Jesus had to say when he's talked about, Jesus says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think for us as men, it's another strong exhortation. As we put our hand to the plow, we need to look ahead. And I think all of us could understand that we can all have good intentions. The first of the year, hey, good intentions. Yes, that sounds great. Yeah, I want to move ahead. I want to be better as a man. I want to do that. Hand to the plow. But men, just keep your hands on the plow, okay? Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't quit. Men don't quit. Men don't walk away. Men stay it. See, things will get tough. But in the toughness, you say, God, you've allowed this toughness in my life. You've allowed what I don't want or what's uncomfortable. You've allowed it. And when he allows it, he's going to do something. He's going to let that heat make us into a man. And through the difficult times, if we let go and walk away, we will not become the man that God intended. We will not. God won't let us. I mean, he will put us in another situation because there was some heat that needed to come. We need to just stay right there, stay in place, let the heat come, and let God use that heat to forge his character in us. And we need to understand that. And that's not going to happen by moving around and all that. Find the place. That's why I said, if this is the home church and the place you go, then this is a team. Let's move it. Let's move ahead. If this isn't your team, find a place that is and be a vital part of the body of Christ. That's my heart. I've done more in this community to help other ministries, you know, and just really support pastors and works than I mean, I'm one of the longest guys right now, 24 years right here. And that's my heart, to see God work, his work, throughout our community. Now, there was an individual named Demas. And his name, D-E-M-A-S. And there's a real interesting scenario that I was studying just to encourage us. In Philemon, verse 24, it says, Demas is put together with a few other workers, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. And Paul says, these are my fellow laborers. So Demas is in this group, four guys. Paul says, these men are laboring with me. In Colossians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 14, he lists a number of people serving with him. And he says, this one's a faithful minister. This is a faithful servant right here. Onesimus, faithful and beloved. Articus, he's a fellow prisoner. He's with me. Mark and Barnabas, they're with me in this. These are fellow workers. These Epaphras, he's a bondservant of Christ. And as he gets down, this is now just pay attention. Luke is my physician. So Luke was with Paul as a physician. And then he just says, Demas greets you. But there's nothing. Who was once a fellow worker, a fellow laborer earlier, right now, it's just Demas. Then listen, in 2 Timothy 4:10, where Paul is closing out, you know, his life, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. In 2 Timothy 4:10, he says, for Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he's departed for Thessalonica. So I'm looking at this and thinking, wait a minute, Demas was one of your guys. And then Demas was fading away. And Demas now, in the Bible, he's known as a man that walked away. He's forsaken me. It's in the Word of God. And I'm thinking, I'm not exempt from something like that happening. And it happens slowly, and it happens over time. And there's two things that take place. If you'll note here, it says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And that's what we are battling with. Love for the present world. Because prior to that, the verse before that, Paul says, I'm looking forward, all the righteous will receive a crown because we love his coming. He says, I'm loving, my heart is for Christ, I'm loving his coming. And then we drop down to the next verse, he loves the present world. And in that, hopefully some encouragement, because in James chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, listen, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anybody. And there's two things here. There's trials and there is temptations. And looking at this, men, just going to hit on a few things here. Because I really want us to succeed. So here's what we're going to struggle with in this world. The love of the world. This is what we're going to struggle with. It's going to be substituting toys for time. So with our family and with our children, substituting toys, you know, the things that we possess for the time that they need. So you have to be careful. We have to be careful. When we're looking at this life that we live, we do not want to make any substitutes. They will always forget the gift you gave them, but they'll always remember your presence. And you know how presence is spelled, P-R-E-N-C-E, your presence. Are you following me with this? They want you, men. They want you. Goes for your wives as well. They want you. They need you. Here, men, is another thing. When we're looking at this, and what we want to do is we want to excel in love like never before. We want to excel in our love for God and for the love of others. We want to excel. That's where we're at. That's our theme when we're talking on Sunday. We're moving ahead. We want to do that. The church at Ephesus left their first love. That's an issue right now. The busyness of the life and the pressures cause us to lack love. We'll try to fight, try to provide, try to do it, but we miss out on the love part of it. So, work will get your best. You'll give your best to work, and your family and your fellowship get the leftovers. Work gets the best, and family and fellowship get leftovers. You get up early, you're excited, you get out there, you're thinking about it, you're working your work, and that's great. We want to be diligent in that area. But we need to give our absolute best to our family and to our fellowship in serving the Lord. Amen? So again, just trying to help right here as we understand Demas, he ended up loving the world instead of loving God. And here's what happened to him in this scenario. And it can happen to us. Men, the home is not an extension of the office. When you walk home or you get into your home, you're not there to boss everybody around. You're not there to lecture. Actually, I think the Lord would be pleased if we listen instead. The home is not an extension of that. We must quit justifying lovelessness. So if we're not loving and we're saying, well, here's the reason I don't. If only you did. If you changed or whatever. No excuses. Let's not make excuses. Let's just say, God, I need more of you. In baseball, an outstanding baseball player that makes the Hall of Fame is probably batting 300, 3-something, but in the low threes for sure, right? So if he's batting 300, men, if he's at the plate 10 times, he could have struck out 7 of those times and got on base 3 times, right? Would that give him a batting average of 300? That looks like a pretty big failure, right? But that's Hall of Fame material. Not necessarily if he struck out all the time. But he only got on. Got 3 hits. I say that because, men, we need to understand that we need to be gracious. We need to be gracious to one another. And I don't think God is looking for us to have a batting average of 1,000. Okay? He's wanting us to go to the plate. He's wanting us to do the best that we can. But we need to be gracious towards one another. And sometimes you put unreal expectations on yourself. God never asked you to be perfect, right? And sometimes those expectations go on others because you have these expectations, but they're not God's expectations. The next thing here, men, just little bullet points. Listen now, make no provision for your sexual drive outside your sacred chapel at home, your bedroom, your time with your wife. We have to fight this battle, this temptation towards lust and sexual sin. And God's provision is with our spouse and with our wife, and to allow that. And what happens is, when things aren't happening in the home that way, then we begin to drift. And we can justify the reason and give us permission in ways that are absolutely sinful. And God doesn't give you a green light, but you will make that concession. And again, what I'm saying is the enemy wants to get into your house, wants to get into your home, wants to get into the enemy is working not only on the outside, but on the inside. And you don't want to make any provision that way. No concession for that at all. And God will help us. He'll give us strength in that area. One of the things in this area as well is many times where that is a struggle, I can assure you that consistent prayer time with your spouse is not happening. It isn't happening. They go together. There's a correlation in that. And then finally, men, again, just trying to say, hey, we're together on this. We want to grow in love. There's reasons we want to grow in love. Pressures are coming in. And if we do not take the positive steps forward, and we'll have the application here in a minute of what we can do, then we will substitute. We'll just toys for time. We'll give gifts, but not our time. A child and a wife spell love, T-I-M-E. And we bring our best to work, and we should. There should not be anyone better than a believer in the workplace, but we need to bring our best game home. And that takes the power of God, the strength of God, because we are spent. We are exhausted. For me, my compensation is based on 55 hours a week, but on top of that, I volunteer another 40 hours, usually, in what I'm doing. 20 more hours. So what I'm saying is, you can look here, I'm with you. I'm with you. I live in the same world, the same place, the same challenges. Okay? There's not a separation here. I'm battling like you. I want victory like you do, okay? In this realm. And listen now, for the men that are married, your dad or grandfather, but you want your children, you want your grandchildren, you want your children to say, my daddy loves Jesus. You want your children to say, my daddy loves Jesus. You want that? My papa loves Jesus. My daddy loves Jesus. You follow me here, men? You want them to say, my daddy loves my mommy. My daddy loves my mommy. And you want them to say, my daddy loves me. Okay? And I want to help in that realm. As a pastor, I want to see us flourish this year like never before. Amen? So I want to set, brothers, I just want to set the stage for success for us. And what's been on, you know, my heart, how do we do this? So we've had our Wednesday night studies always from the very beginning. But I realize that there are challenges right now, you know, during the school year and with just a lot that's going on. And I realize that. So to make a demand, just if you're really sold out, be here. Well, that could be pretty selfish on my part. So on my part is, I want to be where you're at. I want you to experience what we would experience here on a Wednesday night, but how can we make it happen, right? How can that happen? So what we know for sure is summertime here is unlike anything else. June, July, and August on Wednesday nights, we have meals going on. The weather's fantastic. We've got great program with our youth. come in here, we worship, we go through the Word of God. It's really, I mean, and people are excited because there's no time constraint and they stay out here and they make fires. I like that. We're going to keep that right in place. Okay, so we got that. But we have the time between now and the end of May. And what I'd like us to consider is this, men. I like what I see here tonight. And I think getting together like this on a monthly basis like this would be really a great blessing. And we're going to meet next Wednesday night with the women. And any of you husbands, you're invited to come, okay? You're invited to come with your spouse. No children's maybe, but you're invited to come just so it's not strange in any way. I'm your pastor, but so you can come. And then after I communicate, then the women are going to break into their groups. And if any other men with me, we'll go into another place, okay? You got me on that? So anyways, next week is just communicating God's love to the women. And encouraging them with what God's purposes are. God's called us as men to lead. We need to be those watchmen. We need to be in a place. We need to all take steps forward. So as we go through February, March, April, and May, I see the first Wednesday night of the month for men just like this. This is our men's time, okay? And the third Wednesday of the month for the women. So they have that chance to fellowship and build relationships as well on the Wednesday nights. No children's ministry back there. But on those second and fourth Wednesdays or that week, it doesn't have to be Wednesday because, again, Wednesday might not work. If it was just Wednesdays, you're going to come home frustrated. The house is a mess. Your wife is upset. So much for building love. But maybe Friday's a better day for some. So in that week period, in that 1 week, in the second week, and in that fourth week, I like to see us establish some home groups throughout our community. Okay? So what does that look like in a real way? That would be like an hour and a half at your home. So for some, it might be just, you know, without children, just adults. Others, it'd be like, no, we have children, we want children to come, we want to have, you know, that enriching time with them as well, which is good. And we'll work out all of that. We're not going to put children in a back room. They're actually going to be in the room. Those that want to have children, they'll be in the room. And it'll be like kind of like a Sunday school class, but they'll be included in that. And we'll make it work in a way, okay? So the second and the fourth, it'd be about an hour and a half would be the commitment. I think about 15 minutes, you know, you greet everyone, and then the last 15 minutes, you try to get them out of your house. But you have kind of an hour of content, and in that time, we'll be able to go through. And what's on my heart is, again, love is the theme, but Ephesians is a great book. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 is the application of love in the life of a Christian and life of a church. And I can put together the resources that would be easily accessible for those that are interested in hosting a home group. Are you with me so far? The last two Wednesdays of this month, because the women will meet next Wednesday, so we have two free Wednesdays, we'll use those last two Wednesdays to train. So you're interested. You might be interested in hosting, but not facilitating. And that's what I see a home fellowship leader. You're facilitating. You're not a Bible teacher. Now you got your parish going. You're facilitating as a leader the discussion over the scriptures. And then as you build relationships, you pray. So in that hour time frame, sharing the word, sharing lives, praying. So we'll spend the last two Wednesdays of January training. Are we okay on that so far? So then when we meet again, the first Wednesday of February, we're going to meet as men enthusiastically excited about the launch that's going to take place. What's going to take place that coming week? You follow me? And I would love to see everybody in our fellowship involved. Now, you may say, you know, that every other week, that doesn't really work well, but what would work is I'd love to meet with a few other men just on a weekly basis before work. We want to help you out on that. There may be some women that just want to meet with women with women, and we're going to help with that as well. Do you follow me on that? We have our youth. We love our high school especially. And how can we help, you know, reach out and to minister to that group? I'm up on Whatcom on Tuesday and, you know, up there today. We had about 5 or 6 students that were there, and we're going through some stuff there. I know your wife already has a study, you know, at with some of the students. There's some others that are going on. Aaron, you've been meeting with the men for a long time, you know, on a weekly basis. So this is called home fellowships, discipleship, body life. All those words can fit into this. So what I'm saying is, we can hear the need today. You say, I want to make some changes, but I need to, and I want to, and I desire to facilitate that next step for us. And how it's all going to be put together, we'll work on it. God will help us. Because our intentions are, is how can we help build the body of Christ? How can we grow in love? We're not going to grow in love unless we spend time together. And in doing it in this way, there's some great options that are there that would not be overwhelming to anybody. Okay? Any questions just on that, what I'm looking at here? Any questions? You guys okay with this? Something that could work? And God will help us through. I mean, we're just starting off in this realm. Many of you have been involved in home fellowships in the past or discipleship groups. God will help us out. But for me, I'm thinking of the fruit that's going to come. Because if in fact, and I believe it's to be true, the intensity is not going to get less but more. So I'm working off of that premise. That's the premise I'm working off of. And if we do not significantly take a positive, strong step forward in building substantial relationships, I believe it'll be to our detriment by the end of 2016. Because we don't also know other things that may be happening. I mean, God's helping me saying, this is a good way, and I love it to see the fellowship build love and relationships. But there may be even a more strategic reason that we need to be better acquainted with each other, especially in our communities as time goes on. There may be the need to have help or support or, you know, who knows? We don't know. But to really take that step and to become better established with one another, we're going to be in a far better place as we move ahead, as we just move ahead as a body of believers. We're connected. We know what's going on. We're with one another. We're close by to one another. We can help one another. So you follow me with this? Any questions right now? Okay. I think we have one more song. Is that To Be My Vision, right? But what I'd like is you have the card. And so I'm just using some stock paper that we have. We don't want to waste anything. But what I need is what I'd like to have before you leave, if it's possible. But, you know, is obviously you need to talk to your wife. You need to share that vision. But to have your name and your phone or email, and just kind of say, here's what I'm thinking about. You know, you're not making a commitment today, but just so I can get a feel, I'm thinking about having a every other week home fellowship. That's what I like to have. I like to have it with kids. I like to have it with adults only. I like to reach out to our youth. So just kind of communicate with me. It's not the formal commitment, but it'll certainly help me understand, okay, what do we got going on? How can I follow up with what we have going on? It may be as, you know, I'm very interested in attending something. Not interested in hosting, but I want to attend something. Let me know. Is that fair enough? And you could just set those cards on the back counter before you go. You guys good? Right? I love you, brothers. I'm looking at what God will do as we really follow what he's given to us. To make disciples, to be together like this. So Sean, lead us in the song and then I'll close in prayer. Let's stand, guys.